You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Jake Neer, sitting in for Stephen Henderson today. Michigan's new 11th congressional district, is one of the many districts that have changed quite a bit because of the redistricting process here in Michigan. There is a lot of upheaval. I mean, redistricting just pretty much always means that there are lots of changes in representation politically here in Michigan. But this time is a little bit different because we had a independent citizens redistricting commission, and that has changed so much of the landscape here in Michigan. And to talk about all of that and sort of where this leaves us, I am so excited to welcome Ben Solis, reporter for Gongwer Michigan, back here to Detroit Today. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jake. Happy to be here.
So, first of all, just give us an overview right now about the congressional districts. Who is running at this point in which districts, especially when it comes to sort of the front runners? Who are the people getting the most attention in these districts, and what are some of the storylines that you're watching?
Certainly. Well, I mean, as you had on earlier, one of the big incumbent fights is Haley Stevens and Andy Levin. Trying to see how that's going to shake out. We also know that Fred Upton is teasing a run again. We don't really know, but his ads seem to appear that he's going to run. So that will set some things up. The congressional map, we lost a seat, so it kind of sets up a pretty even split. But we really won't know how that shakes out until some of these elections happen. And I think that's going to be a theme, is that we can make these assumptions. We can see where people are starting to file and where they're saying they're going to run. But, the actual outcomes, whether these maps are fair and they've done what they are supposed to, it's still going to take a couple election cycles just to see.
And let's talk about some of the specific sort of big question marks out there right now. The one that comes to mind, the biggest one for me, is probably the district that Andy Levin decided not to run in, which is the 10th, which is now centered around Macomb County, southern Macomb County. What's going on there? And for people who live in that district, what do they need to know about who's running?
I actually can't answer that right now. I don't have that information in front of me. But it's a toss-up. It's going to be tough to see.
It seems like one of the things about some of these districts is, in some cases, you have multiple incumbents, like we just talked about with Congressman Levin and Congresswoman Steven, who's running against each other. And in places like the 10th, we don't really have a front runner, like a logical. We do have John James, who is running for that seat, for Republicans, who's getting the most attention. For Democrats right now, seems like it's been difficult to really find kind of what I would call a marquee candidate, someone that lots of people know, who already has sort of a base. And I think that is one of the considerations that a lot of people are seeing after the redistricting process. So that is interesting to me. And then on the west side of the state, like you said, Fred Upton teasing with these ads about, is he running? Is he not? Here on the show, he said that he was waiting for some of these legal cases to play out before he makes an actual decision. I think it's probably smart. And I'm curious if you agree with me, Ben, not to necessarily jump to conclusions when someone starts running ads, that absolutely means that they're running.
Sure, and I guess that's it's to be seen, right? And the John James situation too. I mean, you have a potential candidate who has gone through a couple of election cycles, obviously has some high name recognition, did not win in those contests, but was building his name recognition across the board to be able to do something like this. And I think that's going to be a complication, especially, as you said, if the Democrats don't have a candidate in line, a marquee candidate, someone who can match, John James's recognition, it's going to be tough. And it's interesting because these maps do give, the Democrats one of the better chances to make some ground in the legislature, too, here in Michigan, at least. And it's going to be tough to see. And it really will come down to who are the candidates, how well are they campaigning, you know, and I think that was one of the goals of this whole process was to, you know, create a set of districts or at least a map across the board where people would have to go out and actively campaign, where things weren't safe, and you really had to, you know, show your mettle if you were going to go out there and win votes. And I think we're going to see that specifically with that John James race, too.
Yeah. You know, we don't have time to go through all specific races in the state legislative seats, of course. The entire state legislature is going to be up for election this year. But what are some of the interesting highlights or storylines on that level for the state legislature that you're watching right now?
Certainly. Well, we've done an analysis of some of these legislative maps with the Senate map and you know, the House map. And in talking about the Senate map, you know, as I mentioned, it gives Dems a fighting chance. There's at least 13 seats that we've seen that are like safe or likely Democratic, and 14 that are classified safe or likely Republican. So that provides a much more level playing field for both of the parties to win. You know, they can win the same number of seats. And it's more competitive across the board with a pool. So, you know, Democrats usually need to sweep the competitive seats just to hit 19 and hope that their party wins the governorship again, obviously. So that could break some of the ties. And also, you know, on the House map as well, we looked at it and we see that there are at least those 31 districts. So there's 8 seats that kind of tilt democratically. There's 15 toss-up seats. And there's at least 8 seats that tilt Republican. So that's what we're kind of watching here. Obviously, there's the filings, and you know, people are starting to run. But again, it all comes down to we can make these grand assumptions about how these different, you know, districts are going to play out, depending on who's running and who's not. But we really won't see until this election is over and possibly a few more election cycles go through to see, you know, who really does have a fighting chance in these districts and who does not.
It is interesting because usually the midterms are usually rough elections for the party in power in Washington, in this case being Democrats. And then you have this other force moving with with redistricting, making a lot more seats competitive. So it seems like this is one of those big questions about what this will actually mean for representation. Could go in a number of different ways, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really could, you know, and I think that's one of the big fights, too. That's one of the first court cases was about, you know, the U.S. Voting Rights Act and how well, you know, the commission adhered to that. The idea was is that, you know, legislators in Detroit residents and Detroit voters felt that the way that the maps are drawn specifically around them, that, you know, it could hinder minority representation, specifically black representation in the legislature and, you know, potentially in the U.S. House as well. So again, that is on, you know, the top of everybody's mind. Outside of Detroit, you know, I know that some of these rural areas, I don't know if they're necessarily worried about, you know, someone from their area or their community not representing them, but their bigger issue was the way that the maps were drawn and split up their communities, which were, in their mind, their counties, their townships, you know, these traditional, what we agreed upon before this commission was created were the standards for redistricting. So, you know, representation and how that's going to shake out, again, is the major concern. And I guess we'll see, you know, as you probably know, the Michigan Supreme Court threw out that Detroit caucus case. It was Detroit caucus versus the commission. And that was the case that I was referencing that was about the Voting Rights Act. And so, mm-hmm. you know, with the Michigan Supreme Court, you know, kind of going with the commission's mode of thought on how the VRA interacts with their maps, you know, that could kind of hinder maybe some more future challenges to you know, to see who's going to represent who in these districts. But again, that was kind of a bomb to some people who believe that these maps didn't uphold the Voting Rights Act, or at least, you know, didn't represent their communities for representation.
You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Jake Neer, sitting in for Stephen Henderson today. I'm talking with Ben Solis, a reporter with Gongwer, Michigan. We are talking about where the redistricting process has left us in terms of political representation here in Michigan. We have primaries coming up in August, and then, of course, general elections in November. And, you know, what do you think about how this is affecting your own representation? Are you aware of how the redistricting process has affected your own districts, whether it's state House, state Senate, Congress. What do you think? If you have seen those maps, what do you think? Do you think that these are more representatives, more representative of the community that you live in? Are you happy with the way that these maps were drawn? And do you think you'll be better represented or maybe worse? What are some of the biggest election issues or storylines that you're watching this year? What do you want from whoever is representing you in Congress? The number on the lines is 313-577-1019. Again, that's 313-577-1019. You can also use the hashtag Detroit Today on Twitter, and we'll try to work you in that way as well. So, Ben Solis, I'm curious, you know, you were just talking about these court battles around the around these maps. Update us on the ones that are current. We already talked about the VRA concerns that were thrown out by the Michigan Supreme Court. Which ones are still working their way through, and what's the status of those?
Certainly. Well, we have one in the U.S. District Courts, and that is one that was filed by a group of Republicans across the state, including Republican Representative Beau LaFave from Iron Mountain. And their concern is primarily to the one-person, one-vote clause, and it really is focused around that. There are some other issues that they've wrapped in, but that seems to be the primary argument, that the maps do not have equal population, and those equal population metrics are a little screwy, so that's what they want to see is fixed. They did provide a remedy map, which is something that the Detroit caucus did not do. They provided analysis, but they did not provide like a roadmap of saying, if you were to overturn this or you were to rule in our favor, here's what we would like to see, and give you kind of a guide. So there's at least that there. And, you know, in that process, when you file a redistricting complaint in federal court, it goes before a three-judge panel, which includes a Sixth Circuit judge and then two district judges here. From Michigan. And so that's how it's going to play out. Three judges are going to hear this case. They're going to hear all our oral arguments sometime in the next few weeks. I believe March 16th is the day that they're going to do that. I could be wrong, but that's what I believe the date is. So soon, so very soon, we'll have oral arguments there. And, you know, it's anyone's guess on how, you know, that's going to rule. The Western District where it was filed is a much more Republican-friendly district. So, you know, Republicans filing this challenge in a Republican-friendly district kind of bodes well for them. But, you know, as we saw with the Michigan Supreme Court throwing out the Detroit caucus case, you know, kind of eschewing these long-held ideas of how the Voting Rights Act actually works, you know, we could see another disappointment for, you know, the Republicans who filed that lawsuit there. And then also in state court, which would then go again before the Michigan Supreme Court, the League of Women Voters of Michigan and several other plaintiffs have filed a challenge against the commission, saying that the maps, they leaned too Republican, and that, you know, bucked the essence of the commission trying to draw a balanced or fair map. So we'll see how that shakes out, too. You know, our analysis does show that some of these maps do lean a little bit more Republican. Some of the open source, like, data analysis websites show that some of these maps lean a little bit more Democrat than what we've analyzed. So, you know, it's again, going back to how is this going to shake up in the election. I'm not sure that you can necessarily say with you know, definite answers, even with data and analysis, that these maps are going to shake out the way that they are. So that's the chief concern of the League of Women Voters, is that, you know, that despite all the painstaking process of trying to make these maps even fair for both parties, their concern is that the Republicans still have an advantage. And yeah, even if they don't, even if they do lean more Democratic, I've heard from people in the Republican caucus constantly that they still believe that they can win and get out there on their messaging. You know, you mentioned the incumbent party usually takes a beating in elections post a presidential election. Obviously, President Biden is our president, and you know, the Republicans are going to do everything they can to try to flip as much as they can. And the Republicans here, at least, and in the legislature, believe that they can still hold all that ground.
And Ben, I'm just about out of time, but what advice would you give people who aren't sure about their new political districts, what they look like, who's running in those seats? What should they do?
I think they should consume as much news media as they can about this. You know, the news media.
We're not biased here, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think the news media locally has done a really good job covering this, especially in Detroit. There's a lot of information and resources out there. Those maps are available online. You can take a peek at what they look like. You can kind of compare them to the old maps. All those resources are out there. Just educate yourself. The resources are there. and turn out to some of these rallies, see who these candidates are. There's going to be a slew of candidates who you've probably never heard before, speak and share their policy ideas, and I think that's really where they're going to go. And I think that's the point of the commission, right?
To
engage people.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Ben Solis, reporter with Gongwer, Michigan. Always great to talk with you, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it.
All right, that's all for Detroit Today. Tune in tomorrow. We'll hear from Ukrainians and Ukrainian-Americans living in Southeast Michigan and what they're thinking and feeling as Russia invades. This is WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. Thanks so much for listening.